All right, thank you for coming. Well, working with the deaf, as long as we have, is a natural instinct. You just do it. And I don't like not signing when we have deaf people. So, okay. How to care for your missionaries. All right. Southside missionaries. Now, some of these things will include other missionaries that are not members of Southside when missionaries come. And you could say these are our missionaries because we support them. But when the topic that Pastor gave me is how to care for your missionaries, he's talking about Southside missionaries, missionaries sent out by this church. Now, I don't know, besides us and Chris, my brother David, I don't know how many other missionaries there are sent out by Southside. Anyway, let's just say your missionaries, I need to go ahead and start. How to care for your Southside Baptist Church missionaries. I wanted to throw a verse in here. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, those who rule, like Pastor Tyler, like Evangelist Dwight Smith, like missionaries, Chris Walters. And I want to say this from the get-go. I'm not saying this so that Southside will treat the Bennetts better. I am not doing this in any way with selfish motives. But I want Southside to be better to Chris and Kim and their family. All right? So, and all the other missionaries too. All right? All the missionaries. Because if you listen, and I know you do, you better. Listen to when Pastor Tyler preaches. You can tell by his preaching that he labors in the Word. Now, he's a student of the Word, and I appreciate Pastor Tyler. All right, let me start off from the very beginning regarding missionaries going to the field for the first time. All right, going for the first time. Man, that's tough. But even though they may know that you love them, you support them as they travel to the field that God has directed them to go to, the missionaries need reminders. You can take out will need, but they need reminders that you haven't forgotten them and that you are praying for them. You are praying for them, all right? The missionaries need to know that you are praying for them. Missionaries that are sent out by Southside, let me say that you're praying for them. How can you let them know that you're praying for them? Get their prayer card. Their prayer card has their information about contact information, email. Some might have phone numbers. If they go to a foreign country, you may not have their phone numbers. But contact them. Try to do it regularly. Try to be faithful about contact them. Now pray for them. Don't just send them a text or an email and say, I'm praying for you, if you don't pray for them. We need your prayers. We need their prayers. And there have been times as missionaries that we have come close to accidents. And it's, for us personally, it's like, thank you, Lord. Somebody was praying for us. And that's huge. So the old adage, out of sight, out of mind, comes to mind. Let me say, every missionary from time to time wonders if anyone cares. You know, we don't hear from everybody. We don't hear, a lot of times we go for a long time without hearing from anybody. And it's like out of sight, out of mind. And although we know that you pray for us, it's good and encouraging for the missionary to hear it. So, ideas for those leaving for the field for the first time. Now, think about this. Let me just say this hypothetical situation here. What if Camden or Noah is called to a foreign mission field? Well, you know the parents are going to pray like crazy. And the grandparents are going to pray like crazy. But it'd be good if their own church heard from them from time to time and say, hey, we're praying for you. We love you. We're behind you. We're holding the ropes. So let's just say somebody from, and we need more laborers. Man, I'm going to get mixed up between teaching and preaching in Sunday school. and it's hard to not. But in Brazil, man, our focus was on the mission field, on our church, our people, ministering, trying to get more people. We came back to America almost 6 months ago, and we have visited churches. There's a church close by, a big church close by here, that has this many people. We were up in Iowa, a little teeny tiny church. I mean, they had maybe 11 children registered, honey. 11 children registered for VBS. All the work that goes into VBS, Wonder Junction, we did that. I was Reverend Howman, and she was Vera in the skit. And they, of course, they did some, but a lot of work that goes into VBS, and they had 11 children. And I put on Facebook last night, two got saved. One got assurance of salvation. One wants to follow the Lord in baptism. So we need laborers. We were in a church last Sunday morning. They have been without a pastor for 5 years. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing the need in America for laborers. So we need to pray for laborers. We know that, right? Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. The harvest is white. The harvest is perishing. Ideas for those leaving for the field. Have a special send-off party so that friends and family can get that last hug in before they leave. It's not just friends and family. When a missionary from Southside leaves, we're family. We're family. And we need to get that last hug in. And so the church folks can write cards, notes of appreciation, encouragement for them. And these little cards and notes, missionaries can take, will take to the field. They'll read them, and they'll be encouraged by them. And there are lonely days sometimes. Man, there's days when you're just going like crazy. Pastor Tyler takes Fridays off. We typically took Mondays off. Monday was a crash and burn day. I had that on my calendar, on my phone. Monday, crash and burn every Monday. And there are times when it's tough. And I may have said this before, when people tell you, you need to go back to your own country, just leave here. I'm telling you, your missionaries need to hear from you and need some encouragement. When you do something, the missionaries go into the field for the first time, if it's a foreign country. Okay, let me say this. When you have a special send-off for your missionary here, if they're going to a foreign field, they're thinking of clothes and school material and books and different things that they have to take with them to the mission field. And they may have a number of suitcases like we did in these big totes. They don't need, oh, you're going, I want to be a blessing to your children. And you give each child a suitcase full of stuff. Oh, my goodness. Let's not, try not to do that. Please do not do that. But anyway, number two, have a special dedicatory prayer in front of the church so the missionaries realize that the church is serious about praying for them. And this is for those leaving for the field. I did not put this on here, which I should have. When you're a new missionary leaves for the field for the first, a foreign country for the first time, well, I want to encourage you. If you are able to go with that missionary family to the airport and send them off. When we left in 1999, I don't know how many people from Southside went to the airport to send us off. I mean, there was how many, 20, 30? There was a bunch of people there, and it was like we were being sent off, and Pastor Walter was there. He said a prayer for us, but there was a bunch of people. And her grandma was there, right? And... but I'm just saying, as many members as possible, go to the airport to send them off because we are family. They're not going away for the weekend. They're not going off on a week-long cruise. You know, they're going away for years, all right? While on the field, write emails, text them if possible, send birthday and anniversary cards, even call them to encourage them. Now, let me say, when calling, be sensitive to the time zone. So you're not calling them at 3 a.m. It's a... 10 o'clock here. What time is it in Japan? It'll be 11 o'clock. Tomorrow morning? P.m. 11 p.m. So 13 hours difference. So be sensitive to that. And when we first went, there were some churches that would send us birthday cards, anniversary cards, Christmas cards. There was one church in Hickory, North Carolina. They sent us Christmas cards. It's like almost every family. And we would get like 20 cards from one church. But anyway, people don't do that anymore. It's a different generation. But still, text them, send them an email, do something. And let me say this. Kids like receiving things in the mail, even if it's a birthday card. Now, be mindful of when you send them. Don't send it a week ahead of time, because if you send it a week before their birthday, in Japan, it could get there 2 months after their birthday. it's not... While praying and financially supporting them on the field, read their prayer letters. And I don't know how many, Pastor, how many missionaries does Southside support?
Total.
Approximately. 30?
It's up there, yes.
Between 30 and 40 missionaries Southside supports. Okay? And I'm not going to go through the, not even this class, but I wouldn't go through the church and say, how many of y'all read every missionary's prayer letter? Now, they do that on Wednesday in the prayer meeting, but the teens are over here and the children are over here and there are people ministering. And everybody, and honestly, there are sometimes I think not all pastors read our prayer letters. Because I've talked to pastors and like they were clueless as to what's going on with our ministry. But with our missionaries here from your church, from our church, I'm here now too. Read their prayer letters. Many praises, burdens, prayer requests will be communicated in your letters that you may not hear about if you don't read them. Okay? Send extra gifts, offerings if a special need comes up. If you read the prayer letter of one of our missionaries and they say, hey, we have a special need, if you're able to help, do it. Take a mission trip to visit them in their country. This is so important. This could be a life-changing trip as the people see the need for laborers. A mission trip to a foreign country or even going to a stateside mission will make more of an impact on their lives than going to Myrtle Beach. And I'm not against going to Myrtle Beach. We've been there. I've been there one time. We liked it. We were there. We were up on the 14th floor. We could see the beach and hear the waves crashing in. That's a nice, relaxing thing. But year by year, okay, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Take your kids on a missions trip to a foreign country if possible. Now, that's good. You went to Washington State or wherever you go. If you're financially able, take your kids on a missions trip. I think Southside should pay for the pastor and his wife to visit their missionaries on the foreign field. It's a lot of money to send your pastor to visit Chris and Kim in Japan. Yep. You're right. Yep. But he's your pastor.
Yes. Yes.
Now, Pastor Walters came and visited us, and my mother-in-law, they came and visited us. I understand they had a special reason to come to Brazil to visit their daughter and grandchildren. I'm kind of a byproduct, you know. what's a brinji? What's that word in English?
Extra prize.
Just throw this in just because, you know. It's like if you buy this, we'll give you this gift. You know, I'm kind of like an extra. Yeah. Exactly. And it's good for the church members, but we need to think about the future missionaries, the future generation of pastors. And it's if God doesn't call them to missions, okay, their eyes have been opened. Page 2. All right, moving right along here. All right, how to pray for them. Pray for grace. It's not easy, but pray for grace as they move and transition from one country to another. The culture, the way of life, going shopping, opening a bank account. I mean, this is stuff that it's like, that's kid stuff here in America. You go to a foreign country, different language, and they have to have all this documentation, need your passport, they need proof of address. You just got there. I mean, there's a lot going on. Pray for them as they transition and for God's grace. And I have another story. I don't have time to tell it about moving to São Paulo. Man, I needed God's grace to live in the city of São Paulo. And he gave it.
Amen.
But pray for number two. Pray for them as they look for housing and all the documentation that's involved. I mean, in Brazil, it's like when you signed a contract to rent a house, it was like for 30 months. You know, 2.5 years, you signed a contract. And if you broke that, you paid a fine. Anyway, number three, pray for them as they look for a vehicle. Get a driver's license. Begin driving in a foreign land in a different language. You start seeing street signs, you don't have any idea. In Japan, you know, he's going to learn Japanese. It's like, man, there's a chicken scratch up there on these big signs. You don't know if you're going east or west or what city you're going to. It's like, they're clueless. We didn't know Portuguese. And driving, I don't know how it is driving in Japan. São Paulo, Brazil, it's hair-raising. If you've been to foreign country, how is it in Japan? Is it, do they obey traffic laws or?
For the most part.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's say you've got two lanes of traffic going in this direction, and there's a dotted line between the two lanes to separate the lanes. That dotted line is the motorcycle lane. That's the motorcycle lane. There, no motorcycle will stop at a red light behind a car.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
The same in Japan.
Same in Japan. And that they go between the cars, and it sometimes if the light is red and there's no cars coming, they go straight. This is not right turn only. I mean, there's no right turn on red. People don't stop. Nothing coming. It's kind of like every man for himself. You got to learn how to drive there. Again, that's God's grace. All right, pray for them as they do that. Pray for them as they begin learning a new language. We spent 2 years learning Portuguese, but it was like 5 years before I actually felt comfortable with Portuguese. Now, Japanese is, I don't know, 10 times harder than Portuguese, probably. But it's not easy. Verb endings, verb conjugation, vocabulary. And pray for them as they learn a language. And that's one thing. When after our first year, we had not learned Portuguese. It's a one-year time slot. We had gone through one-third of our course. Pastor Walter said, you got to move to São Paulo to go to language school there. And he said, if you're going to minister effectively, you've got to be able to communicate well. And language school is, so pray for them as they learn a language. Pray for the children as they adjust to a new life. And your children, I mean the missionaries' children, they're making new friends. They're learning a new language. It's a new culture, new way of life. Some go to public schools or private schools or whatever. It's huge. God has called me and my wife and our kids, they go with us. God didn't call them per se to missions, but we're a family. I mean, yes, we go together as a family, but pray for the children. I mean, they go through a lot. And pray for their relationships with other missionaries, if there are any other missionaries. Let me read this real quick. I've heard this for many, many years. I've read it. But I saw it again today. I wanted to say the most common reason missionaries go home or go back to their country, their sending country, they call it their passport country, is not due to lack of money, illness, terrorism, homesickness, or even a lack of fruit or response to the gospel. Regretfully, the number one reason is due to conflict with other missionaries.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yep. The number one reason. And we've heard this many, many years ago. For every five missionaries that go to the field and they come back on furlough, only one will go back to the field.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Pray for the missionaries and their relationships with other missionaries.
Wow.
Now, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two.
Yes.
It's like... if there are two, you can pull someone out of the ditch, you know, yes. In Ecclesiastes. But two... are better than one.
That's right.
Working together as a team. Now imagine, imagine this. If you get here this morning and Brother Ethan is not here, and Carrie is not here, and Jeff is not here, and the people that clean the restrooms, the people who do security, the secretaries, the Sunday school teachers, it's just Pastor Tyler and Courtney. That's like a missionary. And if you've got two missionaries working together to do the work of an evangelist as a missionary, pray for your missionary's relationship with others. And I say pray that God would send a family to help them in the ministry.
Yes.
So, yeah. Number two, let's go on. Regarding missionaries coming home on furlough. Even though you must pay to park at the airport, please pay the parking and go meet your missionaries at the baggage claim. Okay, I know it's inconvenient. I know you have to pay for parking, but meet them in the baggage claim area. It's exciting for the missionary and his family. There at Charlotte, at CLT, when you're coming down that escalator into baggage claim, and you've got your church family there to meet you and to help you with your baggage or your and stuff like that, that's exciting for the missionary to get there. See, after a long flight, you're tired. You're like, and just preparing to come back on furlough. What about your vehicle? Are you going to be going to back to the same house that you were living in? If you bought a house or are renting a house, you're going back to the same house. What about your animals? You kids have pets. You got to think about that. Missionaries coming back, who are they leaving the church with? That's a whole nother ball. That's another class. That's another class about leaving your church, your ministry with another missionary. And we have good stories with us, thankfully.
Amen.
But from other missionaries, yes. Oh, I've heard some bad stories.
Wow.
They come back off a six-month furlough, one-year furlough, and they have to rebuild their ministry.
Right.
So pray for that. That is super important. But meet them at the baggage claim area. To see people that you know and you love and people that love you. Man, I haven't seen you in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. That's encouraging. And on the flip side, it's very discouraging for no one to meet them there. You come down that escalator at CLT and there's just nobody there. And you getting all the bags off by them. They are getting all a bag by themselves, trying to get the cart, luggage carts together and trying to keep you dry on your kids. There's missionary friends of ours in Brazil. When they first arrived in Brazil, there were some missionaries who met them at the airport. And they're getting their luggage and stuff together. And as, you know, they're like, where's my kids? And he's like, and they saw somebody have one of their kids by the hand leading them away at the airport in São Paulo. I'm just saying, missionaries, when they come back off the field, meet them there, help them with the kids. They've been through a lot just to get back to the USA. They're exhausted. You can be an encouragement by, number one, knowing their itinerary, flight numbers as they travel, so you can meet them at the airport to help with their luggage. Know their itinerary, okay? When your missionary come back from a foreign field, or if a missionary is coming back from Washington State or Canada or whatever, you know their itinerary. Now, with Chris, you can ask Alan.
Yeah.
Okay, when's Chris and family coming back? They're coming back on, let's say, March 30th. Okay, what's their flight number? They're coming into Charlotte, right, not Columbia or Greenville or whatever. But know the flight number, the airline. Oh, they're coming on American Airlines, flight 1202 or whatever. There's an app on... Or any app for American Airlines or Delta, United, whatever. You find out their flight number and you say, they arrive today. Or if it's an overnight trip like for us coming from São Paulo or with them, you could type in the flight number. Now, there are various flights with the same number if it's like from yesterday, today to tomorrow, because it's the same path, the same trajectory, Charlotte to wherever. Know which day they took off. And find out what time they arrive, because there may have been a delay, an hour or two or whatever, or they may be early. So be there. And you can keep track of that. So you're there. Keep an eye on that and meet them there when they step off the plane. If you have to wait 30 minutes down at baggage claim for them to come down, you don't want to pay for parking. I don't know, $7, $8 for parking. I don't know what that is. But on the way to the airport, you stop at Starbucks and you spend $7 or $8 and you don't want to pay for parking. It's like, let's hold off from Starbucks for one day and meet the missionary, pay for parking, be there for them. Preparing a welcome basket of assorted goodies for the entire family. Just say, welcome back. And I say that, welcome back. All right, because, now let's go on. 3, if the missionaries have younger children, the Sunday school classes could make welcome back signs to hold up as the missionaries arrive and meet them there in the baggage claim. I understand if your kids have school or whatever. If they homeschool, that's different too. You can meet them at the airport. Many do not realize this, but returning to the USA does not feel like home. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. That's
it doesn't feel like home. They just left their house. They just left their friends. They just left their ministry, their pets, and all that stuff. Here we go. Let me put this to fill in the blanks. It does not feel like home since they have left their house, their friends, their church, and perhaps their pets. People with good hearts who love the missionaries, they say, welcome home. And the kid, it doesn't feel like home. That's my home there. I just left my home.
Yep.
So be sensitive to the adults understand it. But the children, they're kind of like, their world, I'm going to get there somewhere. Somewhere it says, somewhere on here it's going to say, their world has been turned upside down. Anyway, 4, planning a welcome back party so they can greet family, familiar faces, and even meet new people who have joined the church since they have been away. And make that, have a welcome back party. If nothing is said about the missionary coming back, just go to pastor and say, can we have a welcome back party for the missionary? he's on top of that. But I'm just saying, if you don't hear anything, I'm a missionary. I do missionary stuff. And so we go in there for church in a very little bit, I shake hands during the shake hand time. And I try to get as many people as possible. And I'll look at somebody who's like, are you a member or a visitor? Because I don't know. There are people I still don't know. We've been here almost 6 months. As I know they're members, but I don't know their names. Now, I'm getting older too. Might have something to do with that. Because I know I've met you. But anyway. The MKs have been away since they were possibly 2 years old. They don't know anybody except who grandma and grandpa are. So it'd be good for them to meet. All right, page 3. Needs of the returning missionary. Coming back on furlough or whatever, they need a reliable vehicle. They may need help securing a vehicle with insurance. You might be able to help with a loaner car or inexpensive, reliable car. One of our furloughs, Al and Judy Kemp had a minivan that they were not using. They let us use their minivan for furlough. They paid for insurance and we put gas in it. That was huge. Our last furlough in 2020, we came back because we were going back and forth more with family and illnesses and stuff like that. We bought a car from RL and Nicole Chris. They're not here. So the van that we drive right now, it's a 2015 Toyota Sienna. That's a good car. We just went to Iowa and back, and we're thankful for our car. That's the newest car we have ever owned, a 20-something. Of course, we bought it in 2020, a five-year-old car. Man, we were big stuff driving a five-year-old car. But we went up to the car lot, and RL was like, hey, so we can take off $1,500 off that sticker price. And Nicole said, we can take off $2,000 off that sticker price. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. So missionaries, they need a reliable vehicle. You're crossing the country or visiting church and stuff like that. That is super important. All right. Number two, housing. That's a need for the returning missionary. Renting a house can be very expensive in Rock Hill or Fort Mill or York or wherever. Where are they going to live? And also a food pounding would be in order. Man, if they find a place where to live, they just get off the field. They did not come with bags and bags of groceries. So if the church could, you know, take a bag of groceries. And if you've got 20 families, you've got 20 bags of groceries. Would be a huge blessing to the missionary. Three, restaurant and gas gift cards. Since the family will be doing a lot of traveling to report supporting churches, these cards will be a real blessing. I mean, if you get a gift card, just a Visa card or MasterCard, they could use it at any gas station, any hotel. But if you want to get them a Cracker Barrel card or an Outback Steakhouse card, go to Shell, get a Shell card. Those things are super important. All right. When we got back here in February, my mother-in-law gave Becky a bunch of gift cards that she had a stack of. That has been a huge help. That has been a huge blessing and saved us a lot of money. Pay attention to the personal needs of the missionary coming back on furlough. They've been in another country. Do they need new shoes? Do they have coats for everyone, especially if they come during the wintertime? Does the lady wife need a new dress? Does the husband, single missionary man, need a new suit or a sport coat? Just be observant when they come off and just say, man alive, that missionary has been trudging around in those shoes over the past 3 or 4 years. He may need some new shoes. Just be observant.
That's right.
Be observant. Vacation is number five. Missionary come back off the field, it's possible he may not have had a vacation. They need some downtime to rest and relax for a few days after they return. And when I get back, I have done this for every furlough. I told Pastor Walters, I told Pastor Tyler, for the first month, just let me sit. I don't need to teach. I don't need to preach in the first month. I'm still trying to go from Portuguese to English. And before I went as a missionary, before I went to another country, and missionaries would be up here preaching, and the missionary would say, honey, what's the word for that? I thought that was kind of like, he's just proud. He's just showing off. He knows the language. That is not true. Because there are words he hasn't used in over 4 years. And if they come home on furlough and still haven't used that language, they haven't used those words in a long time. It's like, man, what's... They need some downtime. If you have a timeshare or if you have a beach house or a mountain cabin, you can say, missionary, here's the keys, here's the address. Just go for a week, or if it's not rented out or whatever, you're not going to be there for 2 weeks, go. Take some down. Take your kids. Relax. Have fun. I don't know if it might have been in 2020 that Dad and Mom, my in-laws, took us to Gatlinburg or the Pigeon Forge or Sevierville, and they rented a house and let us go with them, and we just had a great time. But missionaries need downtime too, all right? Difficulties of the returning missionary. Number one, teenagers often have a very difficult time adjusting back to American culture. On the field, the MKs, the missionary kids, they don't usually watch American TV. They don't keep up with American fashion. They don't speak the current teen vernacular that your teens know. Please, please, please prepare the teens in the youth group so they can befriend the missionary teens. Yes. Teens are different. Some are very outgoing and rambunctious and extroverted, but not all of them are. I have one who is not extroverted and rambunctious and outgoing, but she needs friends. Number two, be aware that returning missionaries may experience, get this, reverse culture shock. Example, the cereal aisle in the grocery store. You go in Walmart here, and there's cereal on both sides of one aisle for like, you know, a football length field. And you go to Brazil, and the cereal aisle is about like this. I don't know what furlough it was, maybe our second or third. Nathan was probably 14 or 15. And we flew in because we were renting a van from another company, BMTM, Baptist Missionary Transportation Ministry, out in Missouri. So we flew out to Missouri to rent this big van. We got there. We were going to be there for 3 days. I mean, just for a couple days to get our bearings for 3 days. And so we went to the prophet's chamber. This church had a prophet's chamber, like a three-bedroom prophet's chamber in their house. It was very nice, you know. We're going to be there for 3 days. And Becky was like, we need food. There's a few things in the prophet's chamber, but we're going to be there for 3 days. So I took Nathan. We walked in the grocery store. We'd never been to that grocery store before in our lives. Nathan's eyes got like this. And he was almost like skipping in the grocery store. And so just to be fun with Nathan, he and I both started skipping in the grocery store. Look at all this stuff that we haven't seen in years. I mean, and it's best for missionaries not to go to Walmart their first few days after they get back either. Because you may need toothpaste and deodorant, and you got to have a buggy to take it back home in. I mean, you got to have a shopping cart because you got more than toothpaste. You got ice cream that they didn't have over in the foreign field. You got their cereal, and there's this, and there's that. There's Little Debbie snack cakes. So anyway, reverse culture shock is a real thing. It's different. Remember, furlough is not a year-long vacation. Missionaries are not over there sipping pina coladas, non-alcoholic, of course, with little umbrellas in our drink, right? We're not, we didn't do that in Brazil. It's not a year-long vacation. The missionary family will be traveling to the supporting churches. Furlough is not a year-long vacation. That's right. There's not a word for furlough in Portuguese. So they use the word, you're going on vacation, because there is no word for furlough. We're not going on furlough. All right. Missionary family will be traveling, supporting churches to report about their work. And while homeschooling, we've had, I don't think, four at a time homeschooling on furlough. And So in our van, we had a big van, a 15-passenger van, and our kids would have a personal DVD player doing homeschooling as we're driving down the road. And then we would get somewhere, whether it's someone's house that you don't know. Oh, you're going to be down here in the basement or up there in the attic or somewhere. Or you could be in a prophet's chamber at the church, or you could be in a hotel. And they go from one place to the other. How many of you like sleeping in your own bed? Yeah. We just got back from 10 days traveling. We were happy to get in our own bed last night. So it's not easy. It can be very stressful. All right. Number three, regarding missionaries transitioning back to their home country. This stuff here I'm sharing with you, I have kept notes on my phone for a long time. I didn't just start writing this stuff when Pastor Tyler asked me to teach it. This is an ongoing thing I've had. But missionaries coming back to their home country, to their passport country, moving back to the USA is one of the most difficult things that foreign missionaries will ever have to do. We were with this couple in Iowa. They were missionaries in Peru for 10 years. They had to return for the sake of the wife, her health needs. They were not able to stay in Peru. And we sat and talked, and we have a lot in common, but it's difficult. God called us here. Brother Chris, God called you to Japan. But like that, he could call you back. And it is not easy. We were there almost 26 years. But when God calls you, it doesn't matter what it costs.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
Because when you surrender, it's kind of like, Lord, I surrender this too. I surrender all $32 I have and anything in my bank account. I surrender all. And whatever it takes, it takes. After serving another country many years, the love for their people, ministry, make it extremely heart-wrenching to leave. Things are different. How you can help. Pray for your missionaries by name, even the children. Number one, pray for the spiritual, emotional, financial needs of your missionaries. Spiritual, emotional, financial. I say financial. Missionaries come off the field. We've been 26 years in Brazil, and we were church planting missionaries. Now, coming off the field, I am no longer a church planting missionary. And some churches have in their mission policy that they only support church planting missionaries. We've lost 5 churches so far. Pray for our financial needs. Number 2, pray for the teenagers. I mentioned this coming back off the field. They're going through much more than the average church-going teenager can understand. Be friendly, be patient. They're trying to process what has just happened. Remember, the missionary has just left their converts, their disciple, their ministry, their way of doing things, and their comfort zone. Man, when I was preaching on deputation, visiting churches, be willing to leave your comfort zone. But after 26 years in Brazil, that was my comfort zone. And come back here, I was like, oh, please, Lord, no. They just left their comfort zone. Their world had been turned upside down. And the missionary needs time to adjust back to the American way of life. Don't be surprised if what is important to you is not important to them. On the mission field, they may have lived in an older house, which we did. We drove, a 2005 van. I love my van. It was a Hyundai 12-passenger diesel, air conditioning. It was comfortable, but I loved it. It was an older van, but it was great. We didn't go out to eat very often. Missionary is not interested in the latest clothing fads, styles, stuff like that, or the newest iPhone. They have been living on a modest fixed income from their supporting churches and are content with the normal daily necessities of life. Now, let me say that, why a fixed income? Because our mission board, they have experienced missionaries, veteran missionaries who have been to the field, and they say you need this much money for rent, for housing, for bills, for your car or insurance. You put a little bit of money away for retirement. And so the mission board says, okay, you're going to Brazil. You're going to be living in the city of São Paulo, which is more than somebody living in the interior, a smaller city. And they say, this is how much you need to raise. That's a fixed income. And sometimes, we'll support you we'll send quarterly report. We have a fixed income. BIMI said, this is what you need to raise. And so, okay, we did that. Conclusion, missionaries are normal people, but what they have been doing makes them unique. What makes them unique is they are 100% surrendered to follow the Lord, God leading. And let me say this, not every Christian is 100% surrendered to follow God's leading, but they should be. I mean, every Christian should say, here am I. Okay, I'm giving you 10% of my income. That's enough. That's all you get from me. Shame on that Christian, right? Missionaries are unique. As members of Southside, let's genuinely love and care for our missionaries and make sure they know it. I know everybody's busy. Everybody has things to do, but don't be too busy to love and care for your missionary. I'm not saying this because I want to do this for us. Let's do it for him. Let's do it for the missionaries. Let's do it for Jordan, Dan Edens, other missionaries. We have different needs. God has called us to a different calling. But, hey, they are counted worthy of double honor. Pray for them, love them, care for them, and let them know. Make sure they know it. All right? Let's pray.